All right. Is my understanding that it's Super Church for the preschool kids only? So just the preschool kids. If you're not in preschool, or if you're in school, stay here. And if you're out of school, stay here. Okay. So some of the adults are trying to fly out of here. We're not going to let you do that. It's like, oh, get out of here quick. All right. So if you're a preschooler, you are dismissed. And let's show all of our kids that we love them. And didn't they do a great job last week in the kids play? Wow. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let me get myself together here. We are going to try to conclude our series that we began in the month of December. And we've been doing a series of messages entitled, Do You Hear What I Hear? And we have been using as a backdrop some famous lines or lyrics from different Christmas carols and Christmas songs that we are accustomed to singing. And today, I have chosen to deal with the subject of heavenly peace. Heavenly peace. Now, don't go to sleep on me, okay? Okay. But I want to talk about heavenly peace today and what that means for us. We tend to focus on a lot of themes in this time of the year. Peace on earth, joy to the world. But unfortunately for some, even internally, that's not quite the case. That's not really what's going on in that person's life. And today, I want to encourage each and every one of us today that God has a resource and a source of peace that comes from Him that, quite frankly, does not make sense. A peace that defies all understanding, the Bible says. And I want to talk about not peace that the world might believe is what peace is defined as, because I think that if I were to say, how would you define peace? We would say, well, it's peace comes when I don't have any problems. Okay, when's that happening? Right? I mean, I don't think that's happening anytime soon. And we'll look at some verses that talk about that. So I'm not here to tell you that we're going to wave some magic Christmas wand and all your problems are going to go away. But what I am going to say is that even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of a crisis, even in the midst of some feelings that you might have on the inside of you, peace is not only possible, but is very much attainable for every single one of us here today. So I want to direct your attention to a couple of scriptures today as we talk about heavenly peace. The first would be Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, we will have the scriptures on the screen for you so that you can follow along. Luke chapter 2. And we will begin in verse 13. And then after that, I'm going to direct your attention to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Why don't you stand up with me in honor of God's word as we read this together? Heavenly peace. Now, here's the setting for this. The shepherds are out in their fields. Many of us know the Christmas story. And there were some shepherds who had a pretty amazing thing happen. They had an angelic visit telling them that the Christ child, the Messiah, was born. And here's how that story ends. It says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. On earth, peace. And then let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This verse is actually a word of prophecy that's predicting and accurately prophesying the birth of the Lord Jesus. And verse 6 of Isaiah 9 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. God, I ask you that we would not just sleep in heavenly peace, but God, I pray that we would live in heavenly peace. The peace that can only come from you. A peace that does not make sense. And so, Lord, I pray that if there be any who are in need of that touch today, I pray they would find that. And we'll thank you and give you praise in your name. And we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Ah, Christmas. I don't know about you, but I have found that this particular holiday tends to bring the best out of some people. Y'all know how I'm going to finish that, aren't you? Yeah. And at times, it brings the worst out of people. Maybe to further illustrate my point, let me once again direct your attention to the screen as you might be able to see this played out.
Excuse me. I know you didn't think anyone would catch you, but you just slammed your door into my car. The least you can do is say you're sorry, lady.
You don't have to take that tone. It's not like I'm hurting your resale value.
I'm sorry. See? Like that.
Heavenly peace. I love that video. Do not try that at home or in the church parking lot, okay? Go next. But I'm kidding. They're our friends. I'm joking. Heavenly peace. Now, hopefully we've got it all together here, but at the same time, I know that for many of us, this could be a holiday that brings a lot of stress or crazy expectations or, you know, extra work or whatever the case might be. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that God is not a God of disorder, but he's a God of peace. God's a God of peace. And not just over the Christmas holiday, but for many of us, because of some of the things that we might face and because of some of the things that we might go through, we tend to need a touch of peace in our lives. And this morning, again, with that whole backdrop of heavenly peace, this morning I would like to offer you, in fact, I would like to show you a few forms of peace that you could choose from today, that the Bible says is available to you, and that God is ready to give to you, and possibly even start you on a process where you could find some contentment. Again, I'm not here to suggest that today, if you'll do what I say, all your problems will go away. You can buy my book for $19.99. You know, I'm not saying that, okay? But what I am saying is that even in the midst of storms and crises and troubles, you can still have peace. So this morning, let me offer you a few forms of peace that maybe you'd like to latch onto on this Christmas weekend. Number one, peace with others. Peace with others. Now again, I'm not suggesting that you're going to ram your car into someone else's at the mall parking lot, but perhaps you find yourself in a bit of a crisis situation or a conflict situation with somebody who you normally would not be in conflict with. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11 say this: "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult." Let me read that again. "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to do this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." We should seek peace and pursue it. Now, this is a time where we hear the word family a lot. We're getting the family together. We are getting together as a family. We're traveling to both sets of families in some of your cases, and or the family's coming to you. But here's a funny statistic. According to the National Association of Theater Owners, you ready? Thanksgiving, another family day, is historically the busiest day of the year, and Christmas is a close second. So in other words, we're going to get the family together, but for the love of everything that is pure and holy, at least give me 2 hours where I don't have to hear them talk. And so we'll just eat popcorn and watch a movie. And it's really funny because here it is, it's during this family time. And now if you're going to me, I'm not judging you, okay? I'm not judging you at all. So please don't misread me. Pastor said we shouldn't go to the movie. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that oftentimes we find ourselves during these moments of family and peace and getting together, really having to work hard not to stick a fork in someone's head in the middle of the meal, right? 'Tis a season, you know. And so we find ourselves in conflict. Some of you are really getting this. Just like, wow, Pastor, just what I needed today. And so many of us, during the holidays, many of us, we find ourselves that we're in heavy conflict with maybe another family member, maybe another follower of Jesus. I don't believe that that's God's plan. And what's interesting, if we have these feelings of conflict with a family member, with another brother or sister in Christ, if we have those feelings, I've noticed that the holidays tend to intensify. And they flare up those feelings for whatever reason. So this is a very good time for us to remember that verse that we just read. If we want blessing, I think it's important that we be people who seek peace and pursue it. I don't believe... See, here's the thing. I've seen people who their goal in life is to get revenge or to get even or to make sure that everyone who said they were wrong finds out beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was right. Ho, 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 ho. How dare they think that I was wrong? May I free you today from the responsibility of having to be right all the time. It's okay. If they're wrong, let them be wrong. If you're right, you just be right. Then gossip about them behind their backs. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Oh, my goodness. I hope we're not recording this. We are. All right. Now, seek peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, to those of us who have people in our lives that just don't want restoration, they don't want peace. I have family that they want nothing to do with me whatsoever. I don't think I've done anything wrong. I mean, how could I? I'm adorable. Maybe that's it. Serious side. I do have family, a close family. They want nothing to do with me. They want nothing to do with my brother. And he and I, my brother and I both think that it may have something to do with our faith, and we're both ministers, and there might be some feelings attached to that. What do you do in that case? Well, I just shake the dust off my feet and say, "Be gone, Ichabod." You know, no. I think we pray for them. I've used the phrase many, many times all through my ministry, and I think it really holds true. It's hard to pray for someone that you hate, and it's hard to hate someone that you pray for. And here's the thing: if you find yourself praying for somebody who treats you so badly, or who does not want any kind of restoration or any kind of relationship with you, if you pray for that person, their conduct may not change, their attitude may not change, but your attitude, your heart, will become more like Jesus. That's what prayer does. Prayer is not just saying, "God, I want this and this and this and a pony, amen." That's not prayer. Prayer is this process by which we communicate with God, and in the midst of all of that, we become more like Him. So really, prayer keeps our hearts pure towards the people who may treat us the worst. So there is a kind of peace that God offers to you today. Romans 12:18 says, "If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it's possible, as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Today, it could be that if there's a conflict in your relationships, you may need to ask God to help you make peace. And in all honesty, the starting block for that is your being willing to pray for them. Pray God's blessing on them. Pray that God touches them. Pray that God gives them the greatest Christmas they've ever had. And whether they change or not, your heart will be more like His. Number two. Not only do I want to offer you today peace with others, but I'd like to offer you what's called the peace of God. There's peace with others, and now the peace of God. This is a verse that I quote many times when I pray. And I love this verse from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And the peace of God, see that phrase? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's that word prayer again. Prayer is linked with peace. When you pray for others, then there's a peace-giving transformation that takes place in your heart. And now, when you find yourself in times of difficulty or crisis or stress or anxiety or whatever it is we might be going through, here's the thing. If we present those requests to God with thanksgiving, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it's a peace that does not even make sense, but that peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How's that work? I don't know. But somehow God does it. So let me release you from the need to figure God out. In fact, if you can figure God out, then your God is way too small. I mean, we can know about God and we can know Him, but I still can't figure Him out. He's amazing. And what He does for me and in me and through me is unbelievable. I don't get it. God, how in the world do you do this? And He's just God. So as you offer these prayers to God, there's a peace that He leaves with you. A peace that defies understanding. The problem may not go away, but the peace comes. The problem may even remain, but the peace will come. See, your life might seem chaotic, but God can bring peace to your life. We're a chaotic society, folks. My son, who you just saw singing, just turned 18. And I'm one of these sappy dads anyway. So, you know, I've been looking back through the years. And I asked God, Lord, how did we pull off school and soccer and family and homework and still not kill each other? How did we do that, God? And it's amazing. It's amazing what He does, because we are all being pulled in so many directions, right? So many of us are. And I just have one. Some of you, you've got, like, you know, 22. And you're just being pulled everywhere. Chaos. And we even have this mentality that the busier we are, the more productive we must be. You know? It kind of becomes the Ed Sullivan Show, you know, spinning plates. You know, and all we're doing is trying to keep plates from falling. And we're not really getting anything done. And God can enter into the chaos and He could say, I want to give you peace. I want to give you direction. I want to help you through this time where it just seems like you're spinning plates. Where it just seems like you're driving everywhere. Where it just seems like you're just meeting deadlines. That you're writing checks, that you're dealing with complaints, you're dealing with difficult people. Your craziness, your chaos might be financial, your craziness might be emotional, your chaos might be physical, but that makes no difference to God. He can still give you that incredible peace that defies all understanding. Jesus is greater than any problem that you're facing today. John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Yay. Thank you, Jesus. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. King James says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. And it might seem overwhelming to you, but it will never be overwhelming to your God. Again, He's greater. Jesus is greater than any problem today. And you can find the peace of God. We've talked about the peace with other people. We've talked about the peace of God. And finally, I want to conclude today by offering you the part of peace that I think is the most important, is that's peace with God. Peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. They say, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your own minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. He has, you know what peace with God means? You were a stranger because of our sin. We were all strangers. We were separated from God. Paul here, when he's writing to the Colossians, to the church in Colossae, he says, you were aliens. But now, because of the death of Christ, because he died in your place, he has reconciled you. And now you're family. Now you're friends. Things have changed. And folks, there is no greater source of peace you can have today than to be in a right relationship with God. It's the greatest source of peace you could have. It's the greatest form of peace you could have. That God could take a sinner like me, a sinner like you, and because of his death on the cross, he makes us holy, pure, accepted. He forgives us of our sins. I'll remind you from Romans 3:23. All of us, every single one of us, have sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. No matter how hard we try, we fall short. Romans 6:23 says that the wages or what we deserve for that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've said this little catchphrase so many times, but this weekend, the greatest gift that you can receive will not be found under a tree, but 2,000 years was found on a tree. Jesus. He died in my place. Man. The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our hearts that he rose from the dead, we'll be saved. Church, the greatest form of peace that you could have before you even walk out this door is to know that you are forgiven and that you are with Jesus. You have peace with God. That could be the greatest present you can have today. Heavenly peace. Peace with other people, even if it's difficult. The peace of God when times are difficult. Or peace with God because our sin is so difficult. All of these come, all the sources of peace take place when we pray. And that starts everything. When we say, Lord, bless that person who, quite frankly, hates me. Bless them, God. Lord, I lift up my problems and my trials and my crisis and my chaos. I lift it to you, God. I need that peace. Or we say, Lord, I bring to you my sin, and I ask you that you would forgive me, come into my life, become my Lord and my Savior, help me to live for you every single day. That prayer brings peace. Today I offer you heavenly, heavenly peace. Could we pray? Father, we love you. I thank you that you, as the scripture said earlier, that we read, that you are a God of peace. And you're a God who offers peace to every single one of us. And now, Lord, I pray that you would be with every single one of us here on this Christmas Eve. God, that this would be a day that we receive an incredible amount of contentment, peace, freedom, and forgiveness. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed all across this room, I won't belabor this, but I do want to ask you, and let me preface everything by saying that I won't embarrass you. But you're here today, and you find yourself saying, you know what, I'm not right with God. There's sin in my life. If I died today, God forbid, but if I died today, I'm not sure that I would be in heaven with Jesus. You could have that assuredness today. You could have that peace with God today. So I won't embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. So if that's you, you'll say, Pastor, I need to get my life right with God. I need that peace with God. I need his forgiveness, and I need him to be my Lord and my Savior. If that is you today, all I'm asking you to do is just slip your hand up and put it right back down. That's all I want you to do. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Who else? I need that peace with God. Is there anyone else here today? Thank you. Anyone else today? I thank you. Hands are going up. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Are there others? Thank you. I need that peace with God. I need to be right with him. Anyone else? Real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you are going to give the greatest form of peace that any of us could even imagine. Is there anyone else, real quick? Maybe for you, you need the peace of God. You need, you just need some peace in your life. You need some peace in the situation that you've been facing. And you might acknowledge that today just by saying, hey, Pastor, will you pray for me too? Will you pray for me that God just gives me peace in my life? I'm going through some stuff. I'm going through some things, and it's been tough. And hands are going up. If that's you, many hands going up. Lord, you see every one of these hands. God's here to give you peace. You could all put your hands down. Are there others? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My final one is that peace with others. There may be a conflict. This isn't about who's right or wrong, but this is about doing what the Bible says and seeking peace and pursuing it. And maybe the biggest step you could take today, before any phone call, before any email, before any attempted communication with them, maybe the greatest thing you could do today is pray for them today. That could start you on the road to peace. And this may be tough, but I'm going to ask you if you need that today as well. And my hand goes up because of my family. If that's you and hands are going up, Lord, I just need that sense of peace. Yeah. I need peace with other people. There's a relationship that I need to pray about today. You know, put your hands down. If you're able to, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're about to let you go, and if you need to sign up for a communion time, feel free to do so today if that fits into your tradition today. But I would like to do two things. One, I want to pray for those of you who raised your hands. And the second will be real similar to that. I'm going to pray a prayer that I'm going to ask every one of us to repeat. And if you raised your hand to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior today. If you raised your hand saying, Lord, I need that forgiveness from him. I need peace with God. If that's you, if you raised your hand, the Lord is going to do something pretty incredible today. He's going to separate you from your sin, and you will be clean before him. And not only that, the Bible says that all of heaven pauses and they rejoice when that takes place. So do you understand what's going on? You may have a Christmas party coming on, but there will be a celebration in heaven because of the lives who are making decisions to serve Jesus today. That's pretty amazing. So I want us all to pray. And then when I say amen, if you want to linger and pray for somebody or pray about your situation, you can come to this altar area and pray. You could just sit at your seat, whatever the case, but we're going to make this a place of prayer so you can seek the Lord, okay? But let's all pray and let's ask God to do his thing in our lives. Why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I ask you, forgive me of all of my sin, become my Lord, and become my Savior. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that you rose from the dead. And I know that I am saved. So help me now to live for you every day. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I pray for a blessing upon every single person who's here. There are those of us, Lord God, with relationships that are hurting. And God, I pray that you would move in our hearts and our spirits just to be able to consistently pray for those people. God, for many of us, that might be miles of a leap in our relationship with them, that we would just do that. So God, I pray that you would start us on that pathway to reconciliation and peace, Lord God. And also I pray for those who need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. God, I pray that you would give us peace in the midst of the finances, in the midst of the physical issues, in the midst of the stress, in the midst of the demands and the chaos, Lord God. We just pray that we would have this overwhelming sense of peace that we can't even figure out. Certainly the people around us can't figure out, but it's your kind of peace. So Lord, I pray that you would grant us that as well. And God, I pray as we celebrate your birth together in the remainder of this weekend, Lord, I pray that you would be at the center of every home, every celebration, every life, Lord God. And we thank you, Jesus, for your birth, which led to your death, which leads to life for us. So Lord, go with us as we go from here. In your precious name, amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you.